Brother Albert, come up, make your way on up here, buddy, before I get in trouble. We love this little man of God. Amen. He's not, I take that back. He's not a little man of God. Amen. We look at Brother Albert and we look at him like the Lord looked at Gideon. Was it Gideon? He said, "You great man of God." Amen. And I don't know that Gideon didn't look behind him to see who God was talking to. But we love this man of God. We love his heart. Amen. We love his ministry. And he's just a beautiful person. And we love you, buddy. And we want you to obey God. Amen. Amen.
How many are enjoying today's service? How many are enjoying today's service? That's good to know. Good to know. We serve a God of opportunities, a God that always gives second chances, a God that will always back you up no matter what. No matter how deep in the hole you are, he will always be there to pick you up. And it's such a blessing to serve such a God. We know that in many other countries and many other places, there's people that don't know this God. And they are living miserably. And they need someone to tell them about this God. And to show them the proper way. Because there's an improper way of showing it. And we want to show everyone the proper way of serving this wonderful God. But we know that since we serve of God opportunities, he will always give us opportunities. But the real question is, are we going to take them? Because sometimes we don't take them. Many reasons could be. Maybe because we're not available physically, emotionally, mentally. Maybe we just try to postpone it. Or simply we think it's too common for something so uncommon. And so one of the things I want to talk about is how to take those opportunities and to not let them go so easily. Yes. Because opportunities come and go, and if you're not quick enough, they're gone. And God is not one God that will say, "Oh, one and done." He's always looking to give you one opportunity after the next, but you have to be willing. The will has to be there in order to take them. And we can see, we can open our Bibles to John chapter 4, verse 5. In this chapter, in this verse, Jesus is coming to the city of Samaria. And there's one thing that you can name, you can have a bunch of adjectives for God. But the one thing you will never think of is that he was tired. It says here in verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." Reading that, you might think, well, how can God be tired? How can God be tired being a God that is all-powerful? And the answer is that he's trying to show the human part of himself. This is his way of sympathizing with us. That yes, there are moments that one can be tired. God ain't gonna scold you if you say, "God, I'm tired." He's very objective. He tries to play both parts and he sees where one can be tired. I would be tired if I was Jesus. Knowing that his life will be giving unto sacrifice. Having to endure all the criticism of the Pharisees and the people and everything, I would be tired too. But there's still, just because you're tired doesn't have to change the way that you're willing to do God's work. Amen. Or to take the opportunities that God gives you. Because as he was sitting and resting because he was tired, comes a woman to bring to get water. And he was tired. He just says, "Get me a drink. I just need a drink of water." And the way that she responds is that, "How are you asking me to bring you water if you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? I'm a Gentile. I don't belong in the cultures and the customs and the traditions." And the only thing he responds is that if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask him to give you the life and the water that you will never run out of. See, even though God was tired, he was still willing to help people. He was still willing to provide miracles. He was still willing to serve. An example is right now. An hour ago, I didn't even know I was going to preach. I was getting ready to go to work, and I totally forgot. I think I remember like a few months ago they told me, but I simply forgot. And then my dad got a call, and so he was like, "Albert's supposed to be giving word today," and I was making my breakfast, and I was like, "It's fine. I'll go." We need to always be willing, no matter the circumstance. No matter the circumstance, because one circumstance, one opportunity may make a difference. May make a difference. You can see in the Old Testament various times where God gives opportunities to men of God, to servants of God. You can see Moses. Moses was asked to do a simple task. The first time it was hit the rock. Yeah. Hit the rock and water will come out. He hit it. The rock gave up water. But then there are times where we have to obey God in the exact way that he asks. Yes. Because when there's an opportunity, you have to follow strictly to the opportunity. Because then God asks him to speak to the rock the second time that they needed sustenance. But instead of speaking to the rock, he just hit the rock again. That was not what God asked. God provided, but for that reason, he was not able to enter into the land of the promised land. So just as God gives instructions, we need to be able to be willing to follow the instructions. Sometimes, I guess it's better to not know than to know. Because sometimes when we know, we rely on experience rather than what God asks of us. Because we sometimes think we know better. Just because, "Oh, I went through this trial once before. I know what I did to get out of this." It's not the same every time. Every tribulation that comes towards us is to better some other part of ourselves. It's not going to be strengthening the same area. Good, you already mastered patience, but now we got to work on your temper. Good, now on you having a good worth ethic. We worked on you being hardworking, but now we need to work on availability. There's always an area that God will test you, God will try you, and one has to be as if they don't know nothing, as if it's your first time. Because that's the best way to learn. Or else, because then we'll put our pride before anything else. So God is a God of opportunities, but those opportunities come and go quickly, and one is has to be able to grab them at first sight. We can see of a king in the Old Testament. I think it's 1 Kings. Talks about a king who needed to defeat Syria. And when he was told to, Elijah, the prophet Elijah was there. And he was about to die. And so he just asked the king, open the window, take your bow and arrows, and shoot an arrow through the window. Yeah. And he shot it. And the prophet says, you are going to be able to defeat Syria in the war that is about to come. Now shoot the arrow, shoot the rest of the arrows. And so he shot, he had six arrows. He only shot, seven arrows, and he only shot four of them, or three of them. But then he stopped. And so Elisha said, you will defeat Syria three times. But if you were to have shot all the arrows, you would have annihilated them. There would be no more. You would have no war against Syria anymore. So because of not following fully to the instructions, as simple as it may seem, it had a big importance. It had a big importance on how he was going to be able to be in his reigning for Israel. In the end, they defeated Syria three times, but on the fourth time, they came and overcome. See, God will always give you a chance to triumph, but sometimes we think it's too silly. Why waste my arrows and throw it out of a window? There's no need. There's no need. It doesn't make sense. I won't do it. Has God sometimes asked you to do something so simple? And we're like, why do that? Why am I going to waste my time? I got better things to do. I got better things to do than to go in and attend a service where there's only like four or five people. I got better things to do than to go out and help a fundraiser for the church. It may be simple things, but those are opportunities that God gives. And we are not one to say, oh, this is where God will give me the opportunity. God doesn't use big events to give you miracles. He will not. He doesn't go based on how many people are there. He goes by where his spirit leads him to. You saw Jesus, how he went. He didn't go to the big cities always. He could be in the middle of a sea and there's a miracle. God does not go where the people goes. Wherever there's two or three, his spirit is there. So why are we looking for opportunities when there's a lot of people? That's not the case. We should be people who are always willing to serve no matter the circumstances, no matter how small the action may be. We always must be willing to help. We always must be willing to serve no matter how tired we are. We must be willing to serve. We must be willing to give our the shirt off our back, whatever we got, to help somebody. That is how God works. It may not be evident at the moment, but God sees everything. He always sees everything. He always sees every little action that you do, and he knows He knows with what intentions you do it. So we shouldn't be ones to say, "Oh, I'm too busy for that. Oh, I can't do that. What if I'm seen with these people? What if I'm seen with four or five people? I look lame. I look like I'm not relevant." We should not base our intentions of serving and bringing God's word based on things like that. It should always be selfless, even if it's to one person. But you do it knowing that God will make a difference. We have power, saints. We have power, and we rather think that we don't. Because the Bible says it, that we are of lineage of royalty. We are kings and priests. We have all the power that God has given to the priests and the prophets and everything of before of the Old Testament. God has given it to every one of us that believes in Him. And it's just up to us to actually believe it and put it forth to where God wants it to be used. Because sometimes we try to, limit ourselves. Oh no, I'm a selfish wretch. Yeah, that was before. That was before. I would believe that before, but now, I don't see you how you were before. I have to see you how God sees you. He doesn't see you as like the work in progress you are right now. He sees you as a finished product. He already sees you how you're going to be for all eternity. That's the most beautiful thing about God. He doesn't judge you how you are right now. He knows the mistakes. He knows the accomplishments you're going to do at this moment. But that's not what He wants to see. He wants to see the finished product. And so that's what we should be able to do with each and every one of us. We're all human. But now, having God in us, we have to see with the eyes of God. And know that each and everyone has the power to heal, to work, to do things, great things, for the glory of God. It just takes work and the willingness to use the power that God has given us. To use the power that He has bestowed onto each and everyone when He died on the cross. And when He rose up from the dead. God will always, 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 always provide an opportunity. As long as you are breathing, He will provide an opportunity. Even shortly after death, He still gives you opportunities. Because once you are chosen, and God will never abandon His own child. He will always look to give them what they need. It says in Psalms, "When have I ever seen a just without bread, without something to eat? And their generations to beg for food." God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. And we must be able to believe that. That's the only part that we have of trouble. We have so much trouble with, the believing part. Sometimes we're like Thomas, "I won't believe until I see Him." And God is merciful enough to show Himself, maybe not as how He did to Thomas, but He does it with us through miracles, through things that only God would have known what I needed at the moment. He knows, and He knows each state everyone goes through. He knows, and that's where he always wants to provide the opportunity. So he doesn't provide you the opportunities when you're all well off. Sometimes we think we got to be well off in order to receive the opportunities that God doesn't say, oh, you require a college degree, you require certain hours in this area, certain hours in that area to be able to receive this opportunity. It's not a job resume. It will just present to you plain as day and right in front of you, and if you are willing, you will take it. But if you're not willing, somebody else will take it. God's not playing favorites. He's not showing it to one person and not showing it to the other. He will show it all to anyone, and the first one to jump up out of his seat will take it. God is a God of opportunities, and he will always want you to be willing no matter how difficult the situation is. Sometimes he might catch you at the worst moment of your life and he'll say, hey, can you do this for me? So some of us may say, oh no, God, I'm messed up right now. I gotta get my life straight before I do something like that. God doesn't call like the capable. He calls the willing. Where was David when he got anointed? Was he sitting in a palace already? Next in line? He was pastoring some sheep. You don't got to be capable at the moment. You just got to be willing. You just got to be willing. Where was Elijah when he called them? He was just working the land. He was working the land. Is that what you see out of a prophet? God will not call you at your best moments. He just needs to know that you're willing. If you're willing, that's all you need. He'll prepare you afterwards. He'll give you the resources afterwards. But as long as you're willing first, that's all that matters. Because usually the ones that are capable before willing, they think they know how to do it. And they postpone or halt God's work, God's plan. Yes. But when you don't know nothing, but when you don't, you aren't capable of it, you don't know what you're getting into, you're more easy to be moved. Because it's like a kid who doesn't know how to do anything. Oh, just tell me where to go, I'll go. That's what God wants. So don't expect God to call you in your best area. If you are someone with bad temper, maybe God might call you with counseling. Maybe that's the position you were, oh, I can't do that. But it's not about if you can, it's if you will. That's the only thing that he asks for, if you will, not if you can. And that's the precious thing about God. That's why he only comes for the wretched and poor. Because the wretched and poor don't know anything. And that's all God needs. The most knowledgeful and the most rich will always have something to say. They'll have their opinions. They'll have their experience. They always want to make God into their own image. But the poor and the lame will never, because we want to receive that goodness that God has. We want to learn. We're open. That's what God wants. He doesn't like it when people are stubborn. Obviously, even us, we are stubborn once we get to a certain level. But there's a reason why God chooses each and every one of us. And the good thing is that he doesn't look at our strengths. Our strengths don't mean nothing. It's our weaknesses that he comes after. He looks at our weaknesses and I can use that. So that once your weakness becomes your greatest strength, the only thing you can say is, I didn't do anything. Before I couldn't even speak on stage, but now I can speak to thousands. That's not me. I could never. But God did. That's all he needs. That's all he wants. So we don't need to be perfect or be with the greatest strengths. Forget your strengths. Your strengths are not going to be used by God. Because your strengths are by yourself. Like you can say, it's because it was my strengths. I was able to do it. No, he'll take you by your weaknesses. He'll take you by your weaknesses and pull you up from there. So that when you're up there and they ask you, and you can say, it was not me. It was not me. But first, there's got to be will to do it. There's got to be a will to let go. Because sometimes we also attach ourselves to the past. And we like to not do things because we think, oh, God, why me? Like, have you seen my resume? I can't do that. Well, what did Gideon do before the angel called? He was hiding his crops, because then the Midianites were going to be taking them away. He was being a coward. He was being a coward. He didn't want anything to do, but God saw his zeal. God saw his heart. He doesn't look at what you did before. He doesn't see who you were in the past. You might be a coward, but now you're going to be a soldier. Amen. And the good thing about God is that he doesn't give up on us. Right. He could have easily given up on Gideon because he asked for so many proof. Yeah. Yes. I would have given up. If you don't believe me, okay, I'll find someone else. But God is always there because if he chooses you, he chose you for a reason. There's nobody like you that can do the job but you. And that's the unrealized potential that each and everyone has. Everyone has a specific reason, a specific purpose in God's plan. But it's up to us if we want to see it through. God doesn't have you in this life out of just being here. We need to be able to be willing to open up to what God wants. To open up to God's purpose. So that God can show himself through us. That is the purpose of everyone. Your purpose may be different than mine. Your processes may be different than mine. The worst thing I get annoyed by testimonies. Not that I get annoyed by testimonies, but how they can explain 20 years of suffering and trials and tribulations in 5 minutes. Because anybody else would say, oh, that's easy. That's easy. But to the one who's passed through it, it was hard. It's hard. It's grueling. It's sufferable. And it does an injustice to just say it in 5 minutes. It does an injustice to show what God has done through the person. So, because sometimes we're easy to compare. We like to compare. We like to see another person. Oh, I'm better than that person, that person, that person. Okay, I'm good. Comparison will always keep you in the same place. Because it gives us an excuse to say, oh, I'm good, God. Like, see all those other children that you have? Oh, yeah, I'm better than them. I'm your best child. There's always going to be a case for you to be God's best child if you do comparison. But God doesn't process each and every one the same. He does not. Sometimes the ones that are most processed are the ones that are more likely to do something big. Maybe not in here, but in the afterlife. God always has a special purpose for each and every one of us, and we should be able to enjoy our own processes and tribulations. Because once we start comparing, we either lose hope or we boast and we get prideful. Everyone's trial, everyone's process is different. And God will always get his work done in each and every one. But we have to be looking onto who? Yeah. Not to your pastor, not to your brother or your sister, not to the deacon, to Jesus. Because he's the only perfect. He's the one that we're trying to emulate, trying to get to. The pastor can fail, the brother can fail, the sister can fail, deacons can fail, but God doesn't fail. Once we start looking at Jesus, we follow our own path. Because have you ever started like seeing something on the side of the road, or like seeing a commotion, like let's say a crash, and like you're spend so time looking and driving that you start like merging into it. Oh, that's what happens when we start looking at other people's paths. We start trying to live their life, or start getting distracted from the path that God has placed us in. Amen. Once we have our eyes set on Christ, it's just consistency on every day looking to serve him in any way. Small or big, no matter what opportunities come around, one has to be willing to do it. And maybe not, it may be like not a good job the first time that you take on God's opportunity, but as long as you have the heart to do it, it don't matter. Does anybody remember the first time their children fold clothes or wash dishes or swept around the house? Was it the perfect the first time? Yeah, they probably had all soap on them. They probably had the clothes everywhere. They probably swept anything but the dust. But they had the heart to do it. They wanted to do it. Now they don't want to do it at all. But see, God will always give you the opportunities, no matter how small or big they are, or no matter how qualified you are. He'll give it to you as long as you're willing. He'll give you the resources. He'll give you everything. One thing you got to do is just trust him. Once he gives you it, trust him. Trust him. Trust him. No matter how bad the situation gets, just trust him. And everything will come out. Because it's his work. Sometimes when we get into his work, we make it into our work, and we want to put our efforts, and we want to put our money, and we want to put everything, and it's not enough. It's not enough, and we're like, God, why did you give me this job if you're not going to give me enough? It's because you're trying to make it into your work. Once you start calling it my work, then I'll give you my money, my resources, my everything. And that's where everything works out. If you could all could stand.